Beginning in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance uncorruptible, incorruptible, and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are waiting for that day where God calls us to heaven, gives us a new body. We receive rewards for our service for the Lord, and we gather in heaven. And that is the completion of our salvation when we get that new body. Today I want to remind you that we all need to live in daily expectation of God. God is doing a work, and we are a part of it if we're saved people. God has a provident will for us. He protects us, he provides for us, and he leads us and guides us by his Spirit. He may have something for us to do. We should be expectant of that. We should be looking for opportunities to share our faith with someone else who doesn't know the Lord as their Savior. God's still on the throne, and he's working his plan. Salvation to completion. He has birthed us into his family by faith in Jesus Christ, begotten us again. We're born into the family of God by faith, and we have a living hope. Our living hope is the Lord Jesus Christ, who's alive from the dead and promises that all who believe in him will experience the same thing. We may die, but we never really die if you know the Lord as your Savior. Today, this dispensation we live in, the age of grace, if a believer dies, their spirit and soul is separated from their body. Their body can go to the grave and be buried, but they go immediately to be with the Lord, and thus shall they ever be with the Lord. When Christ raises the bodies in the rapture, they will come back from heaven with him, and they will have that glorified body as we all look forward to the completion of our salvation. So that is a living hope. Never lose hope. Never give up hope in God. The resurrection of Christ provides us hope. We see that's a factual thing that took place. We believe that by faith. We know it's true because we've experienced salvation that God has given to us. He changed our lives. He transforms us from a sinner to a saint. All of that's done by the power of God. Verse 5 says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto that completion of salvation that will come. But for now, in verse 6 and 7, there's the trials and tests of life that we all have to go through. And we will be delivered from the hour of temptation that will come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth, the tribulation period, as it is called. But we still face tribulation. We still face troubles. We still face Satan as an enemy. But God keeps us. Psalm 30, verse number 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Memorize some scriptures like that. Keep that in your mind that there's always hope in God. Never give up hope in God. He's the creator, the sustainer, the deliverer. He's the life giver. Jesus wrote, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. He can supply your needs. He can sustain your life. Even if he has to use birds in the wilderness to drop you meat in the time of a famine, as he did with the prophet of God, he can open a rock and give water as he did for the nation of Israel. There is always hope with God. The psalmist wrote, let our soul thirst for God. for the living God, like deer pant after the brooks of water. Let us have that kind of desire, that kind of thirst, that kind of expectation of God in our life. I remember a Bible account I want to remind you of in 2 Kings chapter 6, if you want to turn there with me. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to let's go to chapter 7, verse 1, 2 Kings. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make the windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." He doubted that God could do that. Even God can't do that. There were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. Said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. If we sit here, we shall die. Now therefore come, let us go unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die." They rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man in the camp. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, and a noise of the sound of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their lives." Samaria had been the nation of God, but they had sinned against God in many ways. They were in a famine, and now they're in war. And the Syrians have put them in siege, encamped all around Samaria. They can't get any food in, any water, only what's within the city gates. It was so bad in Samaria, in chapter 6, it talks about the siege from verse 24 on. Two women made a pact to kill and cook their children and eat them. "We'll cook mine today and yours tomorrow." So the woman who agreed went and hid her child, and they partook of the body of the one. Then the other woman was angry and went to the king and made an appeal because this woman had hid her child. And the king was so grieved. I remember in a fire base in Vietnam for 77 days was under siege by 40,000 NVA troops. It was a landing strip, had Army and Marines. And they couldn't get anything in and they couldn't get anything out. Those were wounded, couldn't get them medevaced. 77 days, a long time when you run out of food and when you are living as they were having to live. But eventually they overcame the enemy and were delivered from them as they retreated back into North Vietnam. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, brought his whole host of troops and put Samaria under siege, and the people lost hope. Cooking their children, I can understand how they must have felt. But they lost hope that God could do anything to help them. Elisha says in chapter 7, "Tomorrow about this time, there'll be fine flour sold cheaply and double barley sold cheaply. And this one Lord on whom the king leaned said, it's not possible. These four leprous men went into the camp of the Syrians and found that God had caused them to run away in fear. And so they entered into the camp, and they went into a tent. They sat down and ate the food that was there. They took of all the goods that were left, the gold and the silver and all those things. And then they got to thinking, we're sitting here enjoying all this, and God's people back there in Samaria have nothing. Let us go tell the king about what has happened. Sometimes we think we have some terrible enemies, but Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Take hope in God when things are bad, when troubles come, when the news of sickness and disease and hardship, if you lose your job and those kind of things. The lepers came in and ate their fill. And they are like us in many ways. Before we were saved, we were just like a leper. We were unclean before God. Lepers in that day were required to put their hand over their mouth and state unclean, unclean when they came near to other people, so they would not transmit their disease. Now they have found food and raiment and gold and silver. And verse 9 says they must go tell the king. There's a danger in the church today that we get saved and delivered from our sin and we become a part of the church and we get baptized and we get sit in a nice, comfortable chair. We hear great music. We fellowship with good people. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, as we sang in the song this morning. We're learning the Bible. We're hearing good messages, good preachers. But it doesn't stop there. We have an obligation to share what we have received with other people, to take what we have learned and tell other people about it, to be a witness of God's goodness and His mercy, sharing what we have received in Christ. Telling our neighbor, telling someone who comes to work on something at our house, telling the people that we are related to and work with. Like them, before we got saved, we were unclean in the sight of God. If you want to look there, I'm going to read to you from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah 40 and verse 25. God asks the question, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God, there is hope with Him, the living God in whom we serve. God's not tired. He's the creator. All you have to do is go out in the night sky and look up, and the heavens declare the glory of God. He put all those things in place, and he upholds those things by the word of his power. sun is coming up tomorrow morning. It's up right now. We've had the last couple of days had pretty good sunshine. That's always nice. It could be 38 degrees if the wind's not blowing and the sun's out. It's bearable, you know. Especially if you get a spot where the sun shines on you. My wife's got a spot in our den where the sun comes through the window. She'll go stand right there and get her feet warmed up. Not because we don't keep the heat on in the house, but because of her blood thinner aspect, you know. There's a new day to hope in God every time the sun comes up. We can begin anew to serve Him and learn of Him and give Him praise because He's worthy. And He has given us the opportunity to confess our sins, and He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, promise in the Scripture. The lepers had their needs met and had abundance by the hand of God, so they wanted to share it with others. In 2 Kings 7, verse 9 and 10, "Then they said one to another, 'We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings.'" My friends, that's what the gospel means. Good tidings, glad tidings, good news. The message of Christ's resurrection from the dead, salvation in Him by faith, is offered to us from God. This day is a day of glad tidings or good tidings, and we hold our peace if we tarry till morning light. Some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, and we may go tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city and told him, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were." The king arose in the night, verse 12, and his servants. Verse 12 through 22 talks about the king had doubts. He was afraid to go straight there and see what these men had told him. He sent messengers to find out where the people went before he would believe it wasn't a trap to draw them there and destroy them. Many people we share the good news of God with are reluctant to receive the message. They have fears. They have desires to hold on to the lifestyle they're living, when knowing there's going to have to be changes made in their life if they receive Christ as their Savior. The king was reluctant. He wanted proof. Some people can be very indifferent about, you know, "You can't prove that to me." Salvation's by grace through faith is the Bible. I didn't make that up. You didn't make that up. We just happened to believe the message and God saved us and changed our life. The Bible and the story of the resurrection has been tested over and over for 2,000 years. The gospel just keeps saving people who will believe. There's always going to be doubters. There's always going to be people who are reluctant. There's always going to be people who argue. Satan keeps trying to get men to doubt God's word. So the king sent men to go find where the Syrians had gone. And they went down toward Jordan, and they found a wide path of all their belongings strewn in the way as they went to Jordan, as they ran away, dropping things as they went. The king appointed the Lord that had served him, that he leaned upon, to be the one that they would go and bring all the spoil from the tents, and they would feed the people, and they'd bring them into the gate of the city. And he stood in the gate. He's the one that doubted. And Elisha said, "You'll see it this time tomorrow, but you won't eat of it." You see, not only is the promise of God true and sure to bless us with all His promises because we have believed, His promise of judgment is sure also. And this man saw all the things that came, but the people rushed into the gate and trod upon him, and he died right there in the gate, never tasting of the food after famine. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, if you want to turn there with me. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We who have hope in Christ look for the future, a new heaven and a new earth. Seeing God's judgment will come and all these things of earth will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? I'll tell you what manner of persons we ought to be. We ought to be expectantly looking for God to guide us and direct us and teach us and work through us to share his message with the world around us. Looking for the day to come. Let us share the reason of our hope. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." The Bible says there's three abiding virtues. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Faith, hope, charity. And the greatest of these is charity. That word is the old English word for love. Sacrificial giving love. As we witness to other people, let us remember, we do not stand lording over others who don't know what we know. We humbly come to them in the name of the Lord as lepers who found bread, the gospel, and we want to share with them how they can find bread. God help us to be people of the book, vibrant in our faith, able to see through the counterfeit Christianity of today. People who become unsatisfied with the knowledge of the Bible and search for other experiences are opening themselves up for the false teachers that are abounding in the world. Peter underscores the dependability and durability of the Word of God. It gives us salvation in Jesus Christ and the living hope that we have in Him. Jesus is the foundation we build upon. He's the chief cornerstone that gives direction to how we're to live. The church will last, my friends. God's word lives on. Men will die. Our life is like a vapor that appears for a little while and vanisheth away. But there are eternal things with God. Life eternal through Jesus Christ. It was revealed to Peter that he would die. His disciple friend James was already dead. Peter knew his time was short. He wouldn't be negligent to warn and tell people the truths. That false teachers were everywhere. They preach a false message. They use deception. And many will follow their pernicious ways. Pernicious is like lascivious. They have no restraint of evil. Shameless conduct. They hide what they truly believe. They use feigned words like twisting. They reject truth. These who reject the doctrine of Jesus Christ are unbelievers. Don't have any doubt about it, my friend. They do not reveal the character of the sheep.
2 Peter 2 and verse 22, they reveal the character of dogs and pigs. Their sensual, licentious conduct. And many will follow their example. Matthew 7 makes it very clear not everybody's going to be saved. And some who are religious and think they're saved will hear Jesus say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you." There's all kind of sins, and we are invited to commit them daily. But the difference between the unclean and us is that God has saved us by His grace and keeps us by His power and invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace and find help and confess our sins and be cleansed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He shed it for you and for me. We're the reason that He died. He died for us, that we might be saved by faith in Him. Thank you for being here today. Father, I bow my head before You and declare, hallowed be Thy name. You are worthy of our praise and our adoration and our service. You have all power, all knowledge. You are ever present with us at all times. So, Lord, bless now in the invitation. Deal with hearts. Help people to see if they need to be saved, to come and let us take the Bible and show them how they can be saved today. And bless Your people here, Lord. Help us all to grow in the faith and learn and accomplish more in sharing Your word with other people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.